I'm Maggie.
And I'm Kristen.
And this is Hot Chocolate and the Movies.
And briefly, there was a moment at the beginning where I was like, oh no, are they siblings?
Me too.
Isn't great? Right, I think Christmas in Handcuffs might not be rated PG. They were very reckless with fire in this movie. They were too reckless.
And cake. And reckless cake. With cake. Welcome to Hot Chocolate and a Movie, the podcast where we talk about Christmas movies and what makes them great. There will be spoilers.
This week, we watched The Noel Diary. And I watched this one on Netflix because it's a Netflix movie.
That's right.
Did you see anyone in here that you recognized?
No.
Really?
Not really. I don't think so.
Okay. Well, the main character was Jake Turner. He was played by Justin Hartley. He is really famous from This Is Us, that series with Mandy Moore.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
I watched a couple episodes of it, but I cried so much that I had to take a break. It was just too sad.
Wow, for the beginning, huh?
Yeah, and I don't think I even got to the really sad episodes. Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Good warning.
Yeah. And then Barrett Doss plays Rachel.
Okay.
No last name given. The neighbor, Ellie, is played by Bonnie Bedelia, which I am shocked because I thought that was only Amelia's last name. But that is her name, Bonnie Bedelia. James Remar played Scott Turner, who was Jake's dad at the end. And he, you don't recognize
him? You're looking at me like I should know who that is.
No, you probably didn't watch this. He was Richard on Sex and the City.
I never saw Sex and the City. Okay. Like, I haven't even seen one episode.
Okay. Let's see who else you would have known in here. I mean, it really wasn't an ensemble piece.
Yeah, I agree.
The only other person really that we saw in this was, spoiler alert, Rachel's mom at the end, Noelle. And she was played by Essence Atkins. Did you ever watch Smart Guy?
No.
Okay. Well, she played the sister on that. She's been in a ton of stuff. And there really wasn't anyone else in this movie. There were a couple people that had one or two lines, but that was it.
Yeah. They had a lot of locations, not a lot of people.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They went all over the place.
All right.
All right. So shall we talk about Jake Turner?
Well, we got to do a recap, right?
Oh, that's right.
And you're first.
Okay. Let me think about what happens.
Okay. I'll give you a minute to process that. I kind of tell you, like, coming in here and knowing that it was not my turn to go first, I was like.
Feel good.
Felt good. I was like, I wonder what she'll forget.
Well, we're about to find out.
Ready, set, go.
Okay, Jake Turner is a famous best-selling author, and he is going home for Christmas to be alone by himself when he finds out his mom died a week ago. He has to go back to her house, clean it out. Turns out she's a hoarder. While he's there, a girl named Rachel shows up who is looking for her birth mom, who worked as a nanny at Jake's house when Jake was very little. Jake also had a brother who died at a very young age. And they go together on this journey of self-discovery to forgive his dad who abandoned them and to find her mom.
Okay. That was really good.
Thank you.
All right. 30 seconds worth of things.
That's correct. Ready?
Okay.
Go.
Okay. So Rachel that Jake meets is also engaged to somebody right now named Alan. And he and Rachel have a kind of weird relationship. Does not seem like they're really in love with each other that much. And so Rachel doesn't even tell him that she's going off with Jake. And along the way, they stay at so many romantic places that I hope we talk about. And it has a happy ending. And that's it, Maggie.
Does it have a happy ending? Let's discuss.
Oh, okay.
Oh, not yet. Too soon.
Too soon. We'll get there.
Okay.
All right.
Our main character, Jake Turner.
Yeah.
We see that most of the movie from his perspective.
Right.
Which is already a departure from most Christmas movies. Because they are usually from the woman's point of view.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what was interesting to me about this movie, too, when it first started is it starts in Chicago, where he's getting his, he's having a book signing mm-hmm. event. And so that establishes him as this well-known, famous writer. But how many movies have we seen in Chicago, Maggie? Is Chicago, like, Christmas headquarters?
It is really wonderful in December. It really is.
Apparently.
I'm not exaggerating. It's so nice downtown Chicago.
Yeah. It looked great, but mm-hmm. we don't stay there long.
Nope. We're out of there.
Because, like you said, he finds out that his mom died a week ago.
Yeah, but you're skipping some stuff.
Okay, you go first.
Like, yeah. We need to talk about the great people who come to get their book signed. That's the highlight of this movie for me.
That was cute, yeah.
I really love the woman who shows up dressed in cosplay as somebody from the books. She's my favorite character the entire movie.
And he's so sweet to her, too. He plays along and he speaks in French to her.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah. So he seems like a nice person.
Yeah, he does. They really establish that right away.
And they also establish how cool he is.
Oh, I know.
His house is super cool. Like, very modern. Almost feels like Frank Lloyd Wright kind of.
Yeah.
Must have been hell to heat with all those windows, but gorgeous. He's got jazz albums. He wears black all the time. This guy's really cool.
Yeah, he's got good books. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I agree with
that. He reads Hemingway, Kristen. For fun.
And David Sedaris.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Good balance.
He probably listens to podcasts, but not like this. Not like this one. Serious podcast.
He might listen to this one ironically.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'll take that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I also liked the music in this movie a lot, too.
Yeah.
They talk about music, and that's kind of later on something that Jake and Rachel have in common.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the music that they played, I have like a Christmas podcast. I have a Christmas
playlist
on my phone of Christmas music that I like. And anytime I hear a song from a movie, I add it to that so I can listen to it later. And I added a couple songs from this one.
There was so much good singing in this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, Rachel had a beautiful voice, sings mm-hmm. a great jazz song while Jake is playing the piano. And also that group of caroling children. So they started out... And I thought, oh, good, we've got some normal carolers. They sound like actual just kids singing until they break into this jazzy number. And they've got, like, minor chords that they're doing. It was insane. And then they go back to singing normally, which is a little bit weird. But just stellar singing all around.
Yeah, I agree with that. I liked the singing. I did think it was kind of weird. Like, so I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. But so Jake gets the phone call from his mom's. Mm-hmm. lawyer or whatever, that her will is being read, I guess. Everything's been left to him. She died a week ago, so he has to go home to deal with that. And when he gets there, he does see a woman kind of like outside looking in. Eventually, she approaches, knocks on the door, introduces herself as Rachel, and says that she was looking for her birth mom, whose last known address was Jake Turner's home. And, trying to see if he has any information. And he thinks maybe his neighbor does, so he tries to introduce them, but the neighbor's out on a date, and Rachel comes back. And, like, that same day, she, like, is in his house, and she's like, oh, let me hear you play the piano. And mm-hmm. he's like, no, and she's like, I insist. That was really forward.
She came there to fall in love. I don't know what she thought she did, but she was running right through those checkpoints just very quickly.
It was a nice scene, but it was so bizarre to me because he kept being like, no, I don't think so. No, mm-hmm. no, no. And she's like, I insist, basically.
It's because she wanted to sing.
And then she's
like, I know what a good singer I am. If I get you to play the piano, I'll have to sing along.
You know what? If I was that good of a singer, I would do that too.
I don't know that you would.
No, I would. I insist.
Yeah, so, but, I mean, she backed it up. She was a wonderful singer, it was worth it. But, yeah, it was a little pushy.
Yeah.
He was a good player, too, though.
Because he was good at everything. He was like...
you're right. We don't see him be bad at anything.
Except falling in love. He's closed off, is what we keep hearing.
I don't know. He still fell in love pretty fast, too.
He really did.
Faster than she did.
Yeah. But this also made me think, too, finding out that Rachel was engaged when she met Jake. Made me think, like, man, relationships are never more in trouble than they are at Christmas time. Right? Like, think of all the movies we've watched. And if you are, like, engaged or in a serious relationship, you are going to break up
mm-hmm.
or get divorced by mm-hmm. surprise.
I think the key is, like, I would say the key is don't separate at Christmas time. Like, be physically together so there's no chance for that adventure to come between you two. But actually, that didn't save them from surprise divorce and Christmas on repeat. So I take it back.
Okay. Did you notice any product placement in this movie?
Yeah.
Good. What'd you find?
There was definitely a Chewy.com box.
Okay.
I think she was eating a Luna bar.
Yeah, I saw that.
I'm pretty sure her car was product placement, but because I'm so bad with car logos, I don't know what kind it was, only that it was a plug-in hybrid.
Okay.
That was highlighted.
I missed that part. Oh, that's good, Maggie.
Thank you. And that might be it.
I got Kleenex. I thought there was, like, it was really interesting because...
All the boxes of Kleenex that she had as a hoarder.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, all the things she was hoarding. And then also there was, like, Clorox and Pledge. I saw that as well. Mm-hmm. There was a whole stack of board games that they kind of, like, went over, you know? I don't know if that was supposed to be product placement or not. And there was, he talked about playing Scrabble on his neighbor's computer. Aww. I don't know if that's quite product placement, but the Kleenex for sure was.
There were too many boxes for that to be anything but.
And, like, what a great way to get a bunch of product into a shot on screen.
Make her a hoarder. And, that was smart.
And it's a character who's deceased, so it's not like she's unlikable. You know, you feel very sorry for her, in fact, because, you know, she's gone through this really hard loss of her child. So I think that was an interesting way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Rachel is, you know, looking for her birth mom, basically. But she spends a lot of time that first day just hanging out with Jake. They end up going out to eat together while they wait for Ellie, Jake's neighbor, to come back from her three-hour date. And they go to, like, this romantic Italian restaurant. Rachel orders in fluent Italian. She speaks, like, four languages. She wants to work for the UN. And Jake tells her, like, he's a writer. And she's like, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, like, a bus with his...
As a writer, that felt very real.
Yeah. She, like, offers to, like, you know, she doesn't want him to have to pay for her food. You know, she feels really sympathetic, too.
That was cute.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But they have a really good time, it seems like. And it's, like, so romantic, too. Like, that restaurant, I thought.
It was. It was clearly a date spot.
Yeah.
That guy who came up to say hi to him, his friend, Dion, he seemed cool. I would follow his movie.
Yeah.
The one who came up and said, hey, long time, man, no see.
It was weird that he wasn't in the movie again, though, wasn't it?
Because he was so impactful in those, like, 2 minutes he had.
He really was.
Yeah, he was great. Yeah. I want to see a movie about him.
Yeah, I agree with that. I thought he was going to come back for sure.
I hope this led to more roles for him. When she says, you know, the job at the UN is a long shot.
Yeah.
I really feel like the job at the UN is not a long shot. She wants to be a translator. She can speak four languages clearly very well.
Yeah.
I don't think the UN's like, oh, geez, another translator. You know, it's not that common a skill.
Yeah, maybe she just doesn't have a lot of confidence in herself, I guess. I don't know.
But she doesn't act like that in any other way.
That's true,
too. I mean, she smooth talks her way into everything.
Yeah, what was her job before that?
I don't think we know.
Okay. That's kind of weird, too, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So they spend, like, the whole day together.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, they finally get in touch with Ellie, the neighbor, and she says, oh, I don't know about Rachel's birth mom, but you know who might?
Well, she knows her birth mom was a nanny.
That's true. Okay. So yeah, she does. So she knows that much.
But she doesn't know her contact information or even her name.
Right. She thinks it's something to do with Christmas, like... Mm-hmm. Joy or Christina, but she's like, you need to talk to your dad. And Jake hasn't talked to his dad in like 35 years. His dad basically abandoned him, is what Jake, you know, thinks is the situation.
His dad did abandon him.
Yeah, his dad did abandon him.
Yeah.
But...
He wrote letters that never made it to Jake, we find out in time.
But there is still no follow-up.
But that's not really the same thing as parenting.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're right.
So Jake is understandably prickly about it, doesn't want to go. Mm-hmm. She's going to go anyways because he's got the information. And then she talks him into it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. She can talk him into anything.
There's like no resistance on his part. Like he's like, no, I'm never going to do that. And then he's like, okay. Meet me here tomorrow.
Yep.
And they load up in his car with his dog, Ava.
Mm-hmm. Although, why they didn't take her car, which is a plug-in hybrid, I don't know. It would have been much cheaper gas money.
I think the dog fit better in his car.
Not that big a dog. Mm. There's a back seat in that hybrid.
Well, they take his car. And yes, then they set off to go find his dad. But along the way, they stop in some really cute places.
Mm-hmm.
The first one that I noticed the name of was Maple Falls.
Mm-hmm.
when they stay at the Maple Falls Inn, and there is a Christmas festival going on.
Which looked like an adorable festival.
It did. Really fun. This movie definitely had a ton of the elements that we talk about for Christmas movies. Yeah. It had the Christmas carolers that you mentioned. It had all kinds of decorations. It had a Santa.
Mm-hmm. Briefly.
And the Christmas festival. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, there's a Christmas tree that the dad's cutting down and bringing into his house. So
yeah, all true.
All Christmas stuff. And that Maple Falls festival looked really cute. I liked when they checked into the inn.
Mm-hmm.
And Jake says, like, if this was a rom-com, you'd tell me that there was only one room. And then they explain what a rom-com is because...
Right? Who doesn't know that?
Well, and this audience knows that, you know? But it was a cute little joke.
The old guy in Maple Falls does not know what a rom-com is, though.
Right. And so now he does.
Yeah.
But I was kind of... I didn't think this movie was a rom-com.
No, there was no comedy in it whatsoever.
That's exactly what I wrote down. Like, I enjoyed this movie. It's like a very cozy movie, you know? Like, I enjoyed watching it because of the scenery and all the snow. Mm. But it was not funny. I didn't laugh once in this movie.
It was not even, like, lighthearted in any way. This was kind of a heavy movie. And they leaned into that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, all the music was jazz, and it was a kind of creamy color palette, and it was never bright and sunshiny. Yes, they had some Christmas elements. They were never, like, the kind of overflowing and happiness Christmas elements. They were just, like, you know, it was one nice evening, and that's about it.
Well, and you'll notice there was no gingerbread house making, so it cannot
be. Is it even a Christmas movie?
Is it? Who knows? Not. Yeah. They did watch It's a Wonderful Life, which is like 2 hours and 10 minutes to sit outside in the snow watching a movie. I mean...
I don't know if I should bring this up yet, but this reminds me of later on when he's in talking with his dad, and she's just sitting in the car the whole time.
That was weird.
It's not on, so she's not even in heat in the car.
Right.
Sitting in the car. She's got to be in there for hours.
Well, and I was looking at that thinking, too, like, oh, they left the dog in the car for this long? Like, can you do that?
Bring in the dog.
But she must like sitting and waiting because...
Or standing and waiting.
Or standing and waiting.
She likes to wait.
Even when she first arrives at Jake's house and he's like, I don't know, maybe Ellie does, and Ellie's not there, she's like, oh, I'll just sit and wait in this car for her to come back. And
this won't be awkward for you either. Don't worry about me out here on the street staring at your house.
I'm just going to eat this Luna bar and wait. Sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was kind of weird. So, yeah, a lot of waiting on her part.
Mm-hmm.
You want me to keep moving or you got something?
Keep going. Where are we? What are we talking about?
They watched.
Oh, when they're watching It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
And that the pair comes up and asks, are you two together? To be like this cute moment where he has to like try to put into words, oh, we're sitting together, but we're not dating. We're not together, but we're together. And I was thinking, why is she asking? There's no room on this bench. What is she going to sit herself right in between them?
Right.
Strange.
Can you please move so that I can sit in between you? That was strange.
I mean, sure, you're sitting by each other, but are you together?
Right. Yeah.
Or is that little sliver of the seat for me?
And it seemed like there was plenty of seating other places, too.
Yeah.
Plus, if you'll notice, because that is such a long movie for them to watch outdoors, like, they did, like, a montage of, like, the seats getting emptier and emptier and emptier until it was just them and Ava.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that was weird.
Mm-hmm. What was she going to make Ava get up so she could have that seat? Ava, you get up. Dog, you get up. Guy, you scoot over. I'm going to go in there in the middle.
They needed an usher, maybe, to help with the seating.
Santa should have been the usher. Yeah. That night, they stay, and though they're not in the same room, they do have a connecting door.
Mm-hmm.
And through a little series of mishaps, the door is left cracked.
Right.
Well, she says, oh my gosh, or something like that. And so he's like, what's wrong? Everything okay? And she's like, oh, I'm fine. And then you see, because the door doesn't get closed all the way, and he peeks in, and she was saying, oh my gosh, at whatever happens in his book.
Yeah.
Which I thought was sweet.
That was sweet.
That was something I liked about their relationship.
And it was cute, too, that she went and bought the book, didn't tell him, you know, because she was worried, too. What if she didn't like it? She didn't want to hurt his feelings.
Mm-hmm.
But turns out she loved it because he's a great writer.
Mm-hmm.
And it was cute, too. I like the shop owner of the bookstore, too, at Maple Falls, who got that book for her.
Yeah.
She was nice. Mm-hmm. And then the next night, they stay at Candlelight Inn. Am I skipping anything?
Which one is Candlelight Inn?
It's a fire hazard.
All these little romantic stops really blend together in this movie.
They do.
Tell me which one this is.
Candlelight Inn is the one that has just one room. They have to share. Mm-hmm. And there are lit candles all around the room.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So, like, when I saw them sitting down, dressed up all fancy, eating, like, dinner together in this, like, room with candles everywhere, I was like, oh, that's why they showed us that the name of this hotel is Candlelight Inn. Because otherwise you'd be like, what are they doing? Who is insuring this place, Maggie? There are way too many candles.
Yeah.
Way too many. Who lit them all? I don't understand. Like, the logistics of this. Like, when you walk in, when you, okay, you stay at the Candlelight Inn. Mm-hmm. There's only one room.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Now, when you get there, do you have to light all the candles yourself? Or are they pre-lit?
They're pre-lit.
I mean, but then what's that like? Okay, hold on. Your room will be ready in 1 minute.
And you don't think they keep them lit all the time? I think they do. You have to be ready.
You have to be ready. It is a fire hazard. It was dangerous.
Yeah. But it looked nice until it burns down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it is their most romantic place that they've stayed.
Yeah.
And it's her birthday. Mm-hmm. And he finds out it's her birthday. Mm-hmm. So he wants to order a cake for her with, guess what else? Candles on the birthday cake.
Yeah.
No problem for the candles.
There were a lot of shots of fireplace fires in this movie, too.
Oh, you're right.
Non-stop. I mean, there were probably 8 different fireplaces we visited on our journey. All had full fires. Yeah. One was, like, smoking into the room, and he was, like, trying to fix it. And he's like, oh, forget it. And he just leaves it. Like, are we going to let the smoke just keep billowing into the room? It doesn't bother us?
Do you think that's, like...
They're comfortable amongst the flames.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Amongst the flames. That sounds like a book, too.
Like a Harlequin romance.
It does. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There were a lot of fireplace scenes. And there were a couple, too. I think it was the one before. It's, like, the one that started smoking really bad. Yeah. Before it got to that point, I was like, oh, this would be, like, nice to just have on. Like, this scene. You know how they do, like, the fireplace videos or whatever at Christmas time?
Because they were all close-up shots.
Yeah.
Like, and here's the fireplace.
Right. But it's so romantic. And they had already had the day before a moment where they almost kissed. There was some leaning.
Yeah. Darn right there was leaning.
But they did not. And the day before, I was like, got it. You know, she almost made a mistake here, but, you know, she keeps talking about how she's engaged and, you know, she and Alan are fine, right? I mean, that's...
Well, let's talk about her and Alan.
Okay.
Okay, so we don't ever really meet Alan until pretty close to the end when they have one phone conversation. Otherwise, we don't know anything about Alan about what she's told us. What?
Well, we know.
What do you know about him? What do you know?
What do I know? Well, we know, like, he's, like, isn't he, like, a tax attorney?
He's a tax attorney.
He's, like, super
And how
practical.
Could anybody ever love a tax attorney, Kristen?
I don't.
I feel like that's the message of this movie.
You feel like this is anti-tax attorney?
Yeah. I feel like tax attorneys and corporate attorneys are always being maligned in movies. Like, they're always the ones that are cold-hearted and couldn't possibly give you the relationship you deserve.
Well, he was like, don't waste the gas money trying to find your birth mom.
So she says.
You don't trust her.
I think she's an unreliable narrator.
Do you?
I do, actually.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
I got real, I don't want to say, I don't know. I don't know the right word.
Okay.
I wouldn't take everything she says about it to be like gospel truth, because I think you could tell from the beginning she doesn't really want to be in this relationship.
Yes. But I think part of that is I kind of feel like love is one of those things, like, you don't really know what a good relationship is until you are in a good relationship. Mm-hmm. And so with her not having been in a good relationship, you know, with her being in this kind of relationship, she's trying to reassure herself that it is a good relationship, mm-hmm. that's a strong relationship, that this is the way it's supposed to be. But she doesn't really know that it's not you know, that that's not the relationship mm-hmm. she's supposed to be in.
But, you know, they've got, they frame it as she's got this trauma where mm-hmm. she feels like, you know, she just needs something very steady that she can hold on right. to. But she actually had a very good home life growing up.
Yeah.
Yes, she was adopted, but she was adopted as a newborn. Mm-hmm. You know, she doesn't remember her mother.
Right.
So she had very stable, loving parents growing up. You see a scene of them at the end, and they're wonderful and great.
Yeah.
So I felt like her trauma response was pretty out of proportion to the initial trauma.
Hmm.
Like, why is she holding on to this so tightly that she needs to have something steady and perfect when she's been raised in a steady, loving home all along?
I think we just don't have enough information about her in general, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't know how she and Alan met and fell in love.
Mm-hmm.
Why she thinks it is love.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we don't really have a lot of info about her at all. But I get what you're saying, too. You know, she's really putting a lot of pressure on herself, I think, to find, like, the perfect relationship, maybe, or the perfect thing. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But Alan does seem pretty close to perfect, to be honest. I mean, the gas money thing is mm-hmm. is kind of bizarre. But he's also like, hey, let's get married. You know, you love this restaurant. Guess what? I already called. They're available mm-hmm. for us. You know, we can book it. Let's do that. And she's like, oh, hold off until I get back and start ignoring your phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But when he says, I got the restaurant, he's like, and I got a great deal on it. And apparently that means he's unlovable. You can't care anything about good financial management and also be a romantic hero.
Yeah, I do want to, like, push back on that because I love a deal. I love a bargain.
Everybody loves a bargain.
Yeah.
The only people who don't need it are Jake Turner and his soon-to-be wife, Rachel, because they now have millions of dollars because... he's a best-selling author.
So, yeah. So, maybe it was a little hard for you, you think, to root for Jake and Rachel, knowing that Rachel's not, like... okay. So, like, in Haul Out the Holly,
mm-hmm.
when we saw that movie, the main character there is in a relationship with a jerk, right? Mm-hmm. So, we're like, okay, yeah, please leave him and meet someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing in Falling for Christmas. Lindsay Lohan's character is in a relationship with, you mm-hmm. know, a guy who's really self-absorbed. So, we're like, yep, please do forget him.
Mm-hmm.
And this one... it's kind of hard to be like, yeah, definitely leave the reliable guy who loves you a lot. Right,
exactly. Because yeah. they haven't made us hate him. And also in, like, you know, Haul Out the Holly, mm-hmm. she breaks up with him and then moves on.
Right.
Falling for Christmas, she doesn't know she's engaged. Rachel
yeah.
is engaged the whole time. And they both know it. It made it hard for me to root for both of them.
Well, okay. And so then, you know, they have that near kiss, right?
Yeah.
They don't kiss.
Because the dog runs after the rabbit.
Right.
And I'd like to know if that rabbit survived. I'm not sure it did.
It did. Because remember, Rachel called Ava back and she came back right away?
You don't think that dog, Ava, killed the rabbit behind that wall real quick and then just came back?
Did you see how later on Ava ate that, or earlier on, Ava ate that tomato soup and it was like all over her mouth? If she got that rabbit, we would have known.
Okay, you're right. Okay.
I felt
that
so
relieves my mind.
I felt Oof. So bad for the dog that had to eat the tomato soup, though. I was
yeah.
like, that's so messy. That poor dog has got it all
I don't think
over.
Dogs really do like tomato soup. I think that wasn't true.
Well, I guess we'll have to find out. I don't know. We'll do some
Listeners,
research.
Please write in.
Yeah.
If your dog likes tomato soup.
And also, like, how hard is it to clean up after your dog eats tomato soup?
She had white fur, too.
Like, that didn't come out right yeah. away. No.
No. I'm sorry. You go ahead. So, they have the almost kiss.
Yeah.
Before...
they
the
stay at the
funny
fire.
Stuff.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Then they go to the fire hazard hotel. And while they're there celebrating her birthday, they do kiss.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and then when they kiss, did you see her, like, extinguish the candle flame
yeah.
with her hand?
Mm-hmm.
Which was weird to me for several reasons. Have you ever done that? Ouch.
Okay. I don't do that.
Okay.
It scares me.
Right.
My little sister does that, and she taught my children to do it. However, it seems like an important step of it is kind of wetting your fingers first.
So how does she do that if
Rachel
she's kissing?
Rachel just went straight in there with dry fingers.
Yeah.
Smothered that flame with her bare skin.
Ouch.
Mm-hmm.
And I was... so that was weird to me.
Yeah.
But I guess maybe the message was supposed to be like, she doesn't need to make a wish because her wish is coming true right now.
Oh, that's deep. I didn't think that at all.
That's kind of what
how
I got.
How did she even... that's pinpoint accuracy. While not looking at it.
That's what I'm saying.
Straight to that candle.
They were very reckless with fire in this movie. They were too reckless.
And cake. And reckless cake. With cake.
But then, okay, so then we cut to the next morning. Mm-hmm. And Jake's in bed and Rachel has left. And she's left a note basically saying, like, I have to leave.
Yeah. I choose Alan.
Yeah. So did they, like, go past?
Of course they did.
They did?
Yes.
Okay.
Obviously.
I didn't know. I wasn't sure.
Oh, my poor innocent Kristen. Of course they did.
Well.
Which also makes it hard to root for them.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
So then she leaves and goes to celebrate Christmas with her family, I guess. Mm-hmm. But he... Oh, I skipped a part. I skipped the part where they go to Jake's dad.
That's all right.
How are you going to edit this, Maggie?
Whatever. We'll just keep talking about it.
Okay.
Keep on going. The Jake's dad part is not very interesting to me, but we'll talk about it.
Well, it's probably more boring to Rachel. Rachel had to sit in the car that whole time. That was so weird. Okay, yeah, let's go back to that. So in between Maple Falls and Candlelight Inn, uh-huh. they find Jake's dad.
Right.
And he's like, out in the wilderness, chopping down a tree.
Because he heard he was coming from Ellie, the neighbor.
Yes.
And he was so excited. He was like, I need to prepare by giving him a Christmas tree.
Okay. And I wrote this down in my notes. This is the only part I have about this part. I have mm-hmm. never had a Christmas tree. Was that the dad that said that? Or was that Jake that said that?
I don't remember.
But either one of them is lying. There's no way Jake never had a Christmas tree.
Well, his mom was...
Maybe he doesn't remember.
Not emotionally there.
But at four? Like, even before?
Well, the dad would have been there for that, too.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you're right.
Somebody had a Christmas tree.
Somebody's lying, but we don't know who. Because you didn't write it down.
I did not. Also, like, we've become really suspicious of a lot of these characters, Maggie.
That's how I felt watching the movie. I really did. It's all the jazz music. It's all those minor chords. It's like, it makes you, side-eye things.
Yeah. Mystery's afoot.
So he goes up to visit his dad.
Mm-hmm.
He finds out his dad missed him and wrote him letters that his mother never gave to him.
Right.
We don't know exactly why, but we do know mentally she was having problems.
Yeah.
To this point, we knew that his brother died when he was seven.
Right.
And had something to do with a tree.
Yeah.
Now, I appreciated how in this movie, up until this point, we didn't have to go through the accident.
Right.
It was enough what they were doing. You know, just alluding to it when he explains what happens to Rachel. There's a train going by, so we can't hear it. And I liked not having to relive it all. But then we meet the dad, and we still have to relive it. So at that point, it's like, we've already heard about this multiple times. You're just making us watch it and really wallow in it, how bad it is.
Right. Yeah. It was not, like, a big reveal, if that's what they were hoping for. It was sad. It was really sad.
Very sad. It was horrible.
But you're right, too, about the dad abandoning Jake. You know, we do find out he wrote these letters, but there was no follow-up on his point.
Right.
On his part. There was no follow-up on his part. He's just sending them out, and then when he doesn't hear back, he's like, well, I guess I'm a hermit now, you know? So they talk a little bit. I guess they kind of bond over this.
Well, he storms out first and says, no, forget it. Mm-hmm. And then here comes Rachel with her honey talking ways and says, you should go back inside. And he goes, I should go back inside. And then he goes.
Yeah. Yeah. She basically says, why don't you be the first adult in your family to not walk out? But then that made me think, too, like, well, what other adults... are there in his family? Does he have aunts or uncles, grandparents?
I don't think they're all running away, all the extended aunts and uncles, I hope. I assume she meant the mother mentally ran away.
Right.
But also, she said something along the lines of, you know, if you leave now, you're just doing what he did.
Mm.
And no, he's not.
Right.
You know, he's walking away from a full-grown man who can take care of himself.
Right.
The dad left his probably maybe 5-year-old son at the time when he left. That is not the same thing.
It's not the same thing, but... Rachel talks him back into going.
Easily.
Going back. And then they decorate the entire Christmas tree.
While Rachel and Ava sit in the car.
And then all of a sudden, it's like it hits Jake that, oh, wait a second.
I brought others with me.
But it's also not a surprise because his dad came around the corner when he was talking to Ava. And at that point, His dad does not introduce himself. He's not like, oh, you have company? Come on in out of this cold. He's like, yes, we'll see you later. We're going to go decorate an entire Christmas tree. Yeah. You guys good? I mean, there's, right?
Yeah, it was weird.
It
was weird.
I mean, even if that was like if that was your house and you were talking to somebody, they went out to the car, and you saw a dog and another person, wouldn't you be like,
You had them out there the whole time?
Yeah. What's going on here, right?
Yeah.
But no. So, but then, yeah. So then they go to the fire hazard hotel where they share more than a kiss.
Obviously. You want to think better than I do. I don't think you're as affected by jazz.
You're right. Jazz probably led to loose morals or something like that. Right, Maggie?
just predisposes people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, they did also have, like, champagne and a whole bottle of red wine, too, I think.
Yeah. Why not just get two bottles of champagne? That's if you want to drink a lot, you just go for more champagne.
That's the celebratory drink, yes.
Right.
I agree.
Yeah. That was... Why would you combine those?
I don't know. But they do. And then she leaves. She goes home to her family.
Mm-hmm.
Jake continues on this journey to pursue Noelle, who is the mom of Rachel. Right. And we found that out from Jake's dad. That's something they did talk about while they left. No, when she came in, I guess. Because then he made chili for them.
Yeah, when they let them come inside the house, he said, oh, and I have the answer to this question, that's a burning question you have, that you just sat outside.
And I have chili.
And chili.
But he didn't give the dog chili, did he? Doesn't he say something like, this is not for you?
I think the dog has had enough tomato-based soups for a while.
Probably.
She's still stained from previously.
Well, I think she got some of it off in the snow. We totally forgot to talk about...
The name of the movie, The Noelle Diaries. Okay, so quick recap. Going back in time. When they are leaving the house, Jake packs some personal things up that he wants to take to his dad that he found while cleaning out his hoarding mother's house.
Mm-hmm.
Coincidentally, Rachel opens one up, because why wouldn't you open what looks like somebody's personal journal? Just pull it on out of their bag and start reading it.
Well, she didn't pull it. It fell when she was reaching for his bag
So that makes it okay? If it fell on the floor, you can then open it up? It's not like there was something intriguing on the front that made her think, oh, this might be what I'm looking for. It was just looked like a personal ledger.
Okay, are you actually charging her with something, Maggie, or is this...
I'm just saying it's suspicious.
Okay. All right.
In a long line of suspicious actions. So she opens it up, and turns out it is the diary from her mother that she was writing it as she was pregnant with Rachel. It's very sweet. Talks about how much she loves her, mm-hmm. and how she wishes she could keep her. Her parents won't let her. It's a long saga. But the end of it all is that she finds out that her mother did love her very much and was going to send this diary mm-hmm. with her
mm-hmm.
when she goes up for adoption so that she would know she was loved.
Right.
So, couple funny things about this. First, it's just as straightforward. Why didn't the diary go with the baby?
Yeah.
When she went for adoption? Instead, it ended up back in Jake's house where she was no longer living. She left before she had the baby, but somehow the diary ended up back in the house?
I don't know. And, like, the movie... Okay, you go ahead. You've got
no,
one.
No. Can you explain that? What am I missing?
I cannot explain that, but mm-hmm. the movie starts with, like, how it's going to be... The birth mom of Rachel, who mm-hmm. we find out later is Noelle, mm-hmm. writing in her diary. And she's talking about how after this Christmas, everything's going to be different. And she just feels so bad for little Jake. What happened? Like, why?
Why did she leave?
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't give us a reason on why she felt like she had to leave then.
Right. And leave the diary or bring the diary back.
Right. Yeah. I mean, she must have left the diary behind. But didn't she say, doesn't she have an entry for the day Rachel is born? I thought she did.
Hmm.
Okay, so there's some weird stuff on the part of the mom, which is then followed up by some weird stuff on the part of the daughter. So she finds this diary. She starts reading it in the car.
Mm-hmm.
She's very moved. Then she doesn't read the whole thing. She stops. She does other things. She reads an entire Jake Turner book in bed one night.
Yeah.
And then the next day, she reads a couple more entries. And then she goes and she lives her life a little bit more. She gets upset that her mother abandoned her. She must not have loved her. Oh, I'll go back and maybe I'll finish this diary that I've been searching for. Why on earth didn't she read it all at once?
Yeah, that's a great point.
Who would space that out?
For somebody who's so desperate for information to find her mom, why she did she do that?
She wouldn't drive off rather than sit in the car all overnight to wait for the neighbor to come home to get this information. But once she gets the diary, she's like, well, I'll read it when I have time.
Yeah.
I'm in the mood for a spy thriller right now.
Well, it was in her defense, it's a very good book.
Everybody loves it.
Yes.
5 million copies sold.
5.5, actually.
Oh my gosh, really?
That's what he says.
He's so good.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And kind of made me think, too, while I was watching this movie. It's called The Noel Diary. Mm-hmm. But if this diary was not in the movie, I don't really think it would have affected anything at all. Because they found out from Ellie that Jake's dad had some information.
Mm-hmm.
Jake's dad remembers Noel.
Mm-hmm.
And has a, like, wedding invitation. Saying where she's going to live.
Now, yeah, coincidentally kept this wedding invitation for 25 years.
And then that's the information that Jake uses to find where Noelle is.
Mm-hmm.
None of that involves the diary.
Don't need the diary.
At all.
All the diary did was make her feel like her mother loved her.
Right.
But because of that, she never bothered to go meet her mom.
Which was the whole point of this.
Jake met her mom. She didn't.
Right.
She was like, okay, well, I'm awfully close and that's enough.
It's been a good couple days.
Yeah, why would I want to meet you?
Yeah, that was weird. It was weird. But Jake does go on to meet her.
Mm-hmm.
And he finds her working at a hospital. Mm-hmm. She's a nurse, mm-hmm. it looks like. Or a doctor. Nurse. Doctor? She's working at a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And he, like, introduces himself. And she takes the time to talk to him because, you know, she really cared for him.
Yeah, when she was his nanny.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. And then Jake leaves, and Rachel's already at home having, like, a chill Christmas with her parents.
As she wears an evening gown.
Yeah, that was weird, too. Yeah. I did notice that also.
I did love the dress. It was beautiful.
You know what I liked in this movie? Her jewelry. I thought she had really beautiful jewelry.
Because her parents were jewelry makers.
And it worked.
So that fit. Yeah. Okay, so he arrives, and she's having a nice evening with her parents, opening up presents.
And their house was very, like, mid-century modern, too, it looked like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, it was.
It was just cozy.
I wonder if it was the same house, just a different part of it that
could
they
be.
Taped. Yeah.
That would be smart.
Mm-hmm.
So you think, like, the other side of the Maple Falls Hotel was a candlelight inn?
Yes.
They're like, if we put enough candles in
here,
no one will know the difference.
Yeah. Could definitely.
Be. Yeah. So while she's opening presents, Jake keeps calling her,
mm-hmm.
and she, like, keeps ignoring it for some reason. And then she picks up the phone and is like, I'm not going to talk to you.
Right.
But she's talking to him while she says that.
Yes.
And then in our new segment that we added called Bad Metaphors, Jake is, like, literally outside asking her to please let him in
mm-hmm.
as they're separated by a pane of glass there because he is trying to declare his love for her. And mm-hmm. she's, like, just not opening that window, opening that door to let him in.
And she doesn't do it. She says, I do not love you. And they hang up the phone. Part.
Yeah.
And then she shows up and everything's fine. That's how quick it felt to me.
It was like that. And in fact, I'm trying to figure out what happened in between that. So then his heart's broken. He goes back to his mom's house. He starts, like, packing up mm-hmm. to leave. Ellie, the neighbor, and her new boyfriend come over with a gift for Jake.
Mm-hmm.
Which turns out to be a portrait of, or like a painting of his childhood home
mm-hmm.
that he's currently in
mm-hmm.
with the tree that his brother fell out of.
Yeah, put back in.
And that was kind of odd too because like Jake didn't have any strong connections to that tree. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like he's like, oh, I remember going up there with my brother all the time.
Yeah, he was 4 when his brother died. I mean, I wouldn't think he'd remember
that much.
Almost anything.
Yeah. But he's very thankful for the gift. And then, I guess, as he's packing up or something, Rachel's standing, like, right there.
And then everybody smiles, and that's it.
And there's a freeze frame, which was...
There is a freeze frame.
That was kind of an odd choice, too.
Yeah.
I was not expecting that. I didn't know we still did that in movies.
Oh, is that okay? I didn't know we could still do that. Yeah, that's right.
Okay. And then that's into the movie.
And then all done. We never find out, is she going to apply for that job at the UN? What happened with Alan? Is she going to meet her mom?
Yeah. Well, maybe there's a sequel.
I don't want to watch the sequel.
All right. Well, I... well, I actually, like, when I saw it was based on a book, I also added the book to my Libby wish list because I keep a list of books I like to read at Christmas, too. You know, Christmas-themed books.
Well, I'd like to know if the... I mean, I bet the book is better.
I bet the book is better. Yeah. This was cute. I liked it. It was very cozy. It felt...
Yeah, you came in saying you would like the movie a lot.
Yeah, and you came in saying everyone was guilty and you were going to press charges. Right?
Right. But that's why we host together.
Yeah, I mean, I really did. I liked the way it was shot, except for, like, the freeze frame, which I thought was weird. But I liked... I don't know, the cinematography of it. It was pretty to look at.
It was a beautiful movie. Yeah. Everything in it was really just very artistic. Mm-hmm. Everybody was artistic. They were a musician, or they were a painter, or they were a jewelry maker. Mm-hmm. I mean, the only person we met in the entire movie who wasn't some sort of artist was our tax attorney. So, of course, we have to hate him.
We don't hate him. We just can't connect with him. We can't find true love with him.
I don't know. If you're, like... rooting for active cheating, I feel like you have to really dislike the tax attorney.
That's, you know, that you is know? A good point. And like, why did she get engaged to him?
Right. I think this movie would have been better without Alan.
Yeah. Like, there's no need for Alan.
She could have plenty of internal hang-ups about why she'd run away from love.
Right.
You know? And then it wouldn't have been, you know, low-grade cheating to full-grade cheating for most of the movie.
Yeah. Emotional cheating to physical cheating.
That's right.
Yeah.
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 So that would have helped it for me.
All right. So no Alan would have
been. No Alan.
And he really didn't add that much to it at all.
No, he added nothing to it.
Right. I did enjoy Ava the dog, though. I would keep that.
Sure. Ava's great.
Yeah.
I'd root for Ava even over that bunny, and that's saying a lot.
You don't have to.
So you say.
They can both.
I'm not convinced the bunny made it out alive, but I hear what you're saying.
Okay. They're just playing.
No, they weren't playing. Yes. That's for sure not true. No. This was a hunting situation.
Rachel was like, what would you have even done if you caught the bunny? And Ava didn't know.
And Ava was like, ruff, 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 killed it.
No. Not Ava.
Duh, Rachel.
She's a vegetarian. That's why she eats tomato soup, probably.
At some point, the nanny says that she was reading Magic Treehouse books to Jake.
Yeah.
I looked it up. The first Magic Treehouse book came out in 1992. She would have been with him, judging by the ages of everything, in about 1987. So there was no reading of Magic Treehouse books going on.
So you're saying her story is suspicious as well.
I didn't make that connection, but yes!
We don't really have any proof that she's actually Noelle's.
I think we need to see this movie again from, like, the perspective of, like, this is actually a long con and we don't know everything yet.
Okay. There are some concerning pieces of information coming to light. Absolutely. Yeah, that is kind of weird. And that's weird that it was such a specific reference because, like, anybody can look up Magic Treehouse like you did and see when it came out. Unless maybe they're hoping, like, this is, like, a classic movie that's going to be around for, like, generations. And so, at some point, people will be like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, from a long time ago in the 90s.
The Magic Treehouse books will stand the test of time.
I think they will. They are good books.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I kind of want to read the novel just to, like, fact check all this stuff, too.
Yeah. Like, I would love to see how this is like the novel. One thing I found, you know, when you write a book, nothing is going to be changed in it without your okay. You know, you have control over it. Even though, you know, you may have editing battles, you still get to control what goes in the book. Somebody writing a screenplay, they don't have that control over it. So many people go into making movies. Who knows what very pivotal scenes were in the original screenplay that would have explained away so many of these questions that just got cut for time or lines got changed. So I don't want to be too hard on them.
Right.
But I would like to know, what's the real story in the book?
Yeah.
That didn't make it to the screen. It was really funny. This is just something I noticed. When they got to Fire Hazard Inn,
yeah.
And they say, oh, but we only have the one room. There was an immediate cue of steamy saxophone music right away.
So you knew something was going to happen. Yeah. Well, and they so set us up for that with the last hotel.
We thought they were going to subvert it.
Yeah.
They were not.
And, like, she took the time to, like, totally change her hair, too, that night.
Yeah, she showered and did a blowout.
That's a lot of time. Where's Ava during this?
Car.
Not the poor dog.
Back in the car.
She's used to it.
If you enjoyed today's show, please leave a 5-star rating or review wherever you get your podcasts. Every rating helps us find new listeners. Thanks! At that Christmas Eve in the square, they had a string quartet.
Yeah.
That is a fancy town.
Because they have...
A string quartet?
It doesn't feel that far off to me. I feel like that's within the realm of...
Is in Eagleton.
What do you think Pawnee has?
One lone tuba.
Tuba. Love it.